read through the Gospels and we read about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see the time that our Lord Jesus walked upon this earth, we see the nature, the character, and the glory of the Father through the life that he lived here in the flesh. The glory of God. We beheld his glory of his only begotten of the Father. Back in the Old Testament, back in Exodus with the tabernacle, we've seen the glory of God descend upon that tabernacle in such a mighty way. The cloud, the Shabbat, or the Shekinah glory of God. And see, in Old Testament times, only the high priest on the Day of Atonement dared to enter into the Holy of Holies to behold the glory of God. It was only that one time a year that on the Day of Atonement when the high priest would have to cleanse himself over and over and get himself just right to be able to enter in beyond that veil and enter into the Holy of Holies. But now, for us tonight here, because of his atoning work on the cross, because Jesus rent that veil from the top to the bottom when he was crucified there on that cross, he rent the veil of the Holy of Holies, and so we can behold his glory daily. We can behold his glory freely and very much in an intimate manner. One-on-one personal. We can have that personal relationship with the true and living God because of the veil being rent, that we can enter into his presence, not on our own worth, not on our own merits, our own value, our own glory. But God gets all the glory for that because of the cross. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." That's the whole purpose for Jesus coming and being born on that night here on earth, become flesh and become a man. He humbled himself to the point, even to the point of death on the cross. So Jesus had been with the Father in the beginning. In the beginning, all things were created by him and through him, the Bible says. But in order to redeem mankind, in order to redeem you and I, he left that glorious heavenly realm to come and to die for you and I. What a gift. What a gift he's given to us. What a gift it was for the Father to send his Son to Bethlehem on that silent night. So as we think about that, Jesus being in glory with the Father from all eternity, Imagine what the angels must have thought as they saw him leaving to come to earth and humble himself to become flesh. They may have been wondering, what's in the Father's mind?
What's in the Father's mind? There's one thing.
To think of the angels in heaven, all of the glorious heavenly realm, and to be able to have had Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead, there for all eternity, and to see their King, Jesus, coming to earth to humble himself as a man, coming down to be able to serve us instead of really us serving him. So the question for us tonight is, do we love him? Do we love him in that type of way that we can consider and think about what it must have been like for the angels that were created to love him? And yet, in the same way, that's what we were created for. We were created to love him as well. But of course, as we see the story, the Christmas story, start to unfold, we pick up the story with Mary. Because in Luke chapter 1, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" I love that. "You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." So as he reveals, this angel Gabriel comes and reveals to Mary this truth of the fulfillment of prophecies that the Messiah, the Savior, was coming. And then the story goes on in chapter 2, and we see that as she continues on in her pregnancy, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Caesar had declared that everyone returned to their own homeland to be taxed. Wanted to get some more money. Not realizing he was simply fulfilling the prophecy out of Micah 5:2. And there it states that, and declared that the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, would be born in Bethlehem. Where else would the son of David be born but in Bethlehem? This was the city of David. And where else would the bread of life be born except in Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem means house of bread. So the prophecy is being fulfilled, the things coming to take place, everything was falling into place just like it had been prophesied, just as it had been told so many years before. Yes, Caesar made the proclamation, but God had ordained the plan long, long before that. So we find Mary, this young girl. She's been told by angel Gabriel that she would give birth to the Son of God. Wow, what news to receive, right? What a revelation that would be. So now she has to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now this is around an 80-mile journey, and they didn't have a limousine to take her in. Hopefully she was either on a donkey or on a horse or whatever kind of mode they had, but 80 miles at the very end of her pregnancy. Imagine what Mary's thoughts may have been while she was on that journey, traveling that 80 miles to Bethlehem. Imagine what was on her thoughts and mind.
Thank you.
So in that song, Mary asks a question, do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have taken my place? But she says, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong. Help me. And when you think of the breath of heaven, of course, the Holy Spirit was promised to us as that Jesus went into the room, that upper room with his disciples, and it says he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit gives us that breath of heaven. He breathes on us, and then he calls us to different roles, different ways of serving him. And many times we wonder, Lord, did you pick the right person? But we need to be as it says in that song, we need to offer all that we are. All that we are for the mercy of his plan. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a reason. And we need to fulfill that reason as we fulfill our calling in him. So, of course, the story moves on. Because then the angels appeared then also to the shepherds out in the fields. And we know the story as they came down and the multitude of angels started singing out and the glory of God descended there. And there was this great chorus of hallelujah. And the shepherds were in awe and amazed at what they had been told. So we find they went on into Bethlehem to see what they'd been talking about. And if we pick it up in Luke chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, and all those who heard it, as the shepherds went in and proclaimed what the angels had told them, all those who heard what they had to say marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept silent. Mary kept silent. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. So they came in to see baby Jesus. They proclaimed what the multitude of angels had proclaimed to them, and the people were just marveled at it. They were amazed, and that word marveled means they were almost left speechless. They didn't know what to say, or they didn't have anything to say about it. And so as these shepherds came to see the baby, that baby in the manger that the angels had told them was born on that night, in a sense, what they did, they came to testify that this was the Christ, that the one that would save mankind from their sin had been born. And as believers, when we accept Jesus, that's our calling at that point. We're to go out and testify that the one that saves us from our sins, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that the one that saves us from that is Jesus Christ, the baby born in the manger that night. But yet he's King of kings and Lord of lords. And as they came to testify, the people heard what they had to say, and it caused them to be astonished. And as we share the truth of the gospel, and as we present the truth of the gospels, not only in words, but through our lives that we would live for Jesus, it should be cause those around us to be astonished, especially when we go through a hard time, when we have a trial that we suffer through and get through with our eyes on the Lord. And they see us do that. They see us continue to praise God and not just give up on Him, no matter what we go through. That's a testimony for Jesus. That's a testimony for the living God. Because no other false god in the world has that to offer. The false gods don't have that kind of hope to give to us. But it says that Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Imagine what her thoughts were at this moment. Ladies, remember when you first gave birth, what were your thoughts? Did you have any doubts as if you could be a good mother? Or if you were really qualified to raise this new baby? How much more for Mary giving birth to the great I Am?
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary,
I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. The great I am. When Moses was facing that burning bush, and God spoke to him and told him to go to the Pharaoh to let his people go, Moses asked, well, who shall I say sent me? And he said, I am. See, that's the total title of the eternal God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great I am. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus proclaimed to be, I am of many things. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. All of these I ams that you see in Scripture are Jesus proclaiming his deity. Jesus confirming that he is the eternal God as well as Savior. In the book of Isaiah, in 43, 44, 45, over and over there, the scriptures in Isaiah proclaim that there is only one God and Savior. Only one God and one Savior. And then throughout the New Testament, you see Paul proclaiming Jesus to be Savior. We see Peter proclaiming Jesus to be Savior. We see Jesus proclaiming to be Savior. So if there's only one God and one Savior, and Jesus is the Savior, then Jesus is God. He's the great I am, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So what do we do with that for us tonight? Now, of course, there's one more person in this Christmas story that we haven't talked about yet. And we kind of need to examine him a little bit because, of course, that person is Joseph. And Matthew 1 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us because the Bible says where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there in our midst. He's with us as we gather together as believers, lifting up his name and glorifying his name. Taking in that breath of heaven and giving glory to the great I am. Not only on Christmas, but every day of the year. Our life should be transformed in such a way that we truly live for him and abide in him. So we find from this scripture, Joseph, being a just man, in the beginning thought he would just kind of slip away somewhere and kind of put her away because in the culture during those times, because they were betrothed, but they weren't united in marriage yet, for her to start showing signs of being pregnant, she could have been stoned for adultery. And yet Joseph thought, well, I don't want to cause a ruckus with her. I don't, you know, he must have loved her a lot. He was going to just slip her away somewhere. But when he heard from the angels, he was obedient then to take her as his wife. But still, even though the angel spoke to him, We can only imagine the thoughts of Joseph, knowing he was to be the son of God's stepdad.
How could it be this baby in my arms sleeping now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? He's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. And when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be this baby in my arms sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be?
How could it be? How could it be that the God of the universe would die for you and I? Imagine how the angels must have felt when they saw Jesus coming down to earth to become a man, to humble himself to the point of death. Imagine how Mary must have felt as she traveled to Bethlehem, wondering, how could she have been picked for this amazing task? Imagine what she must have thought as the shepherds came and proclaim what the angels had confirmed, and she pondered them in her heart. Imagine Joseph having the angels come to him and proclaim to him that it was okay, that this child was of the Holy Spirit. And how do we apply that to us? What's all this mean to us so many years later on Christmas? Christmas, a day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of baby Jesus, and yet so often only thinking of the gifts that we receive instead of the gift that He desires from us. He desires our lives. He desires us to come to that place where we, each and every one of us, have a personal relationship with Him. That we would accept the gift of the Father. The gift of the Father, which is Jesus. And I think about gifts. And you know, whether tonight or in the morning, when you go and you unwrap a gift, and all of us, I'm sure, if someone reaches under the tree, pulls out a very pretty wrapped package like this, and says, "This is for you," what would you do? Would you say, "No, thank you. I've got enough at my house. I don't need anything else. I don't want that. Whatever it's in that box, I don't need it." See, that's what happens to many of us. When the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and starts to whisper in our ear and say, "You know what? You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And I've given you that Savior that blessed night in Bethlehem. All you need to do is reach out and receive it. Just reach out and receive that gift from the Father tonight. To be born again," the Bible says. So it says, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And it says there's only one way to do that. That's Jesus Christ, because He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." It's only through Jesus that we get to heaven for all eternity. Through that gift of that baby born on that Christmas night. There in that lowly manger in Bethlehem on that night. When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came down to be flesh to die for you and I. So tonight, before we conclude any more of the service, the Lord wants to give you an opportunity to receive that gift right now. If you're here tonight, and maybe you've gone to church for years, maybe you felt like you're very religious, but you're here tonight and you understand through listening to everything tonight, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You've never received that baby and believed upon His name. As I talk about, imagine how Mary felt, imagine how Joseph felt. John 1:12 says, "To all that believe upon His name, He gives the right to become children of God." We can be His kids. We can be a part of that glorious family. You just need to receive that gift tonight. So I want to give you that opportunity right now. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way, just raise up your hand and just, we're going to pray for you before we do anything else in the service. Anyone at all need to know Jesus in that kind of way? Seen a hand back there. Anyone else? Can't see over here. Believe it. All of us that are here tonight has been in this same place at one time or another. Do you need Jesus? Do you want to receive that gift tonight? It's free. It doesn't cost anything, and it lasts eternally. Father, I just pray for that one that I seen a hand raise up. Lord, You know the heart there. You know what's going on and taking place there. And so, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, they would just receive You now. just acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior, acknowledge you as the one that came to die for their sins. And so we thank you for this opportunity to offer this present, this gift of salvation for all eternity to everyone. And so, Lord, we just rejoice in that now. We receive you. We thank you for being here and for lifting up your name tonight and having your presence here. And we give you glory for that, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.